Good morning again. As I already mentioned, we've been on vacation, and it was a good break, but I got to say it's good to be home. It doesn't matter how long you're gone. It's always good to be home. And I'm just going to say it, we went to a very nice church. We found a CB church down in the area that we were at, because that's where my heart is. And so we stopped in, and it was a lovely little service and everything. I will say that I'm not the only one who goes past noon. And Terry, you have all the time in the world that you need. And I mean that. I got to say, I missed our worship. I think probably, I don't get to hear myself preach, so I didn't miss me, but I missed our worship. The very, very super 80s CB church, if you know what I mean. All choruses, nothing earlier than 86. It was nice, but I missed you guys. So anyhow, we are going to bring up we have a special speaker. Everything worked out just right. I mean, at first, Terry was going to come join us on the 15th. And so I thought, well, we're going to take a vacation, so Terry will fill in when I'm gone. But there's always that bummer of you go on vacation, you got to jump right back into work, So it's like, is there really a vacation? But then his schedule kind of changed. It worked for us. Dennis was available. It all just, God was good. Good to me, good to you guys from what I understand, and will continue to be this morning. So this morning we have Terry who's going to come share with you. He is one of our supported missionaries, and we want to give an opportunity for any of our missionaries to come share where they're at in ministry, what's been going on, what they're looking forward to, so that we can realize that much more of how we are partnering with our missionaries. It's not just that's one of our guys, we send some money, hope he does something. No, we want to be part of that, and so this is an opportunity for you to do that. I also want to remind the children, during the summer we don't have children's church. Instead, we are doing our Sunday children's program, which there's the flyer, and so there's a name. So if you've already filled in blanks ahead of time, because I know some of you are doing that, you can erase Pastor Mike now, because that's not who's speaking. But I'm going to throw in an extra one here, and you're going to have to pay attention. An extra bonus points if you know how to spell it. But I want to know where our speaker is coming from, okay? So let's see if you can do that. But right now I'm going to pray, and we're going to bring up Terry to share the word with you. Father God, we do thank you so much. Father, I thank you so much for Sio Baptist. And Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can hear from one of our brothers. And Father, I just pray now that, Lord, that you would bless him, you would bless his family as they are away from their ministry, but yet, Lord, sharing ministry with us right here, right now. So Father, we do ask you to bless this time in a special way, and in only a way that you can. We pray that in your son's name. Amen.
When I heard Eric speaking over there, I looked over my wife's eyes and she glazed over. I think she was having a vision. She realized God was calling her to be a Facebook missionary. She saw a bright light and heard angels singing. And actually, we have one of those pay-as-you-go phones that we bring when we're traveling in the States. And as we're driving from Texas back to Oregon, her folks live near Klamath Falls. They're driving back, and she kept saying, "Oh man!" I said, "What is it?" "Well, I can only text 5 people at a time on my phone." I don't know how she does it. She's got both of our names on Facebook, but truth is, I have no idea what's on Facebook. I always tell people I don't have time to look at my own pictures, let alone get on and look at somebody else's. So, but she's our Facebook fan over there. So I think our ministry might be changing after this. It's good to be here. We were talking about this on July 6th. We celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary. Some of you were here at our wedding. So this place is always going to be special to us. It's always been special to Renee, but holds a real special place for us as well. So we're excited to be able to be here and sharing with you guys about our ministry. And since the pastor said we got all day, we'll just take... I still remember one time I was sharing and I couldn't see the clock. There was a glare on it. And the pastor said to go at a certain time, and I couldn't see the clock, so I kept going. So he stood up in the middle and told everybody they could leave if they had to. Okay, so we are continuing our work in the Guadalquivir. I put up here, this is just a section of Galatians 6:9, which says, "We shall reap a harvest if we faint not." And I want to talk about some of the things that God has been doing, because you guys have been with us through all of it. You have been, Sio Baptist has been a part of what we've been doing since going to Mexico. You know, we've had times, I know we come here and probably people think, man, well, such a doom and gloom story. Oh, it's either all about language study or it's all about this challenge and that challenge. But we're beginning to see a move of God, it seems like, amongst the Guadalajara people. And we're excited. And so we want to share some of that with you guys. First of all, here's, anybody know how long we've been in Mexico? Any guesses? Maybe I told somebody. We've actually been August 5th with 13 years we've been in Mexico. It's a long time. That's a life our girls know, both born in Mexico. Been 13 years. And you guys know there's been lots of ups and downs. We've had floods. We got chased out of the mountains because of the violence. Then we went to the coast and got settled there. And once we got settled there, we had Hurricane Jimena come through and flood our house. And so we've had our challenges along the way. But it's been good to be there. I've been 13 years in Mexico. It's hard for me to believe. Here's a picture of my family, the beauties and the beast. No. This is a picture right outside of our house in January. You can kind of see how dry and mountainous the whole area is. But this is where we've been in Mexico. Here's our partners, Dennis and Michelle Bender, and their four kids. Did you notice we had two girls? The Benders have four girls. And we also, a few years ago, we were working with Tom and Amy Reagan, another couple from Klamath Falls, Oregon. They were also with us. They also had four daughters. So I used to tell the Guadalajara, we brought our girls to Mexico because Americans don't make boys anymore. So these are the families we work with. You know, we've spent all that time working with the Benders, which is, as we'll talk about later, I know that's a thing we're grateful for. Dennis and Michelle are just steady kind of people. We always say we're the high-maintenance couple on the team. But Dennis and Michelle are just always nice and steady, and they've been a good asset to the whole work, you know, because in missions, there are enough stresses and strains. You know, anybody know the leading cause why missionaries come home? You know, it's because they can't get along with their partners. Oftentimes, they find noble reasons for it. I got this medical problem or this one or that one. But it's almost always because they don't get along with their partners. Isn't that surprising? So we're grateful for what God has done for us. So where are we in Mexico? You know, a couple years ago, we were coming home, and Erica, she was 9 at the time, she said, Dad, when people ask me where I'm from, what do I say? She said, I have grandparents in Pennsylvania. I have grandparents in Oregon. I was born in Chihuahua. We live in Chiltepin. I used to live in Tojiachi. Where am I from? So we figured if she doesn't know and she's been living with us, you guys probably might not know either. So I'll try to give you, I'll pull up a map here to see if I can help you see exactly where we're at. You can see here where it says in the middle, Chihuahua. If you go to El Paso, Texas, straight south, about 5 hours is the city of Chihuahua. And then over here along the coast on the Sea of Cortez, you can see Guaymas. That's where we actually lived for 3 years when we couldn't be in the mountains. And my translation helper moved his family out to the coast to avoid the pressures of illegal activities in the mountains. So when we realized we couldn't be in Chiltepin, we followed them. But if you go due east of Chiltepin and cross into the state of Chihuahua, you eventually end up in Chiltepin right here. Here's a picture of it. You can kind of get an idea. Chiltepin is a type of chili that grows wild out here. Anybody here like hot peppers? Chiltepin are good because they have a good hot flavor. They're very hot, but it doesn't last and last like a jalapeno. But actually, the Guadalajara name is Cahuirere, which means under the mountain. As you can see, we're surrounded on mountains on three sides, and then towards the west, it opens into a valley. So that's Cahuirere. To get into Chiltepin, we have two different ways now from where we're at. The first way, the shorter way like we prefer, is about a 60-mile trip, and it takes about 6 hours from pavement to our houses. And then the other way is an 87-mile trip. And this time of year, when we go back in August, we can't go in through Chiltepin because of the rain, because of the river, that have about 10 feet of water. So that 87-mile trip will probably take us 11 hours, just to kind of give you an idea what the roads look like. One time we came out through there because of the rain, it took us 14 hours. There's a picture of our home. Here's the Benders' home. And this is a multi-purpose building we just built. You'll see some other pictures. We're kind of excited about this. You know, we'll talk about the soaps and stuff. This is where the soaps are getting made. This is also where we do our church services. People, in fact, have started calling it our church. So what's the mission that Jesus gave us? Every missionary has to say this verse when he comes to them. Just so this is a missionary's calling card. Matthew 28:19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay, so Jesus says to make disciples. That's the command there. How do we do that? He gave two things, baptizing them and teaching them. And this is kind of exciting because this is the stage where this is where we're working now. We're not just studying language now. We're not just building houses. We're not just doing evangelism. Now we're actually being to teach and baptize. Back in February, I was finally given by the Mexican government, I was granted a visa that actually recognizes me as a minister in Mexico, so now I can do weddings and funerals and baptisms. If anybody wants to get married in Mexico, give us a call. We're excited about this. Back in April, the 2nd of April, we did the first baptism we were able to do ourselves. Because before that, we always had to bring in a Mexican pastor, or other Mexican pastors had to do the work because we were not recognized as legally able to do that. And as far as we know, this is the first time in the history of the Guadalajara Nation that Guadalajaras were baptized using the Guadalajara language. Guadalajara was baptized. We had a message in Guadalajara. We asked all the questions in Guadalajara. So it was pretty exciting for us to finally be at this stage. And I'll tell you what. We have never seen anything in our ministry shake up the Guadalajara people like baptism. When we started talking about baptism, that's all people would talk about. It was a buzz to the community. You're going to get baptized? What about you? What about me? And people were thinking about this because they recognized that when they were baptized, they were saying, I'm choosing now publicly in front of everybody to follow Jesus Christ. Now I can't just tell the missionaries on the sly, I believe too. I'm making a choice to make a public stand. And it affected a lot of people. A number of people who seem to truly understand, who truly believe, said, we're not ready to do that yet because we're not ready to stop growing drugs. We're not ready to stop working in that yet. You know, and so they had to make the choice because they recognized that they were laying it on the line in front of everybody. But a few people did. This is Macario. Macario is one of these fun guys. He's got a great sense of humor. He just loves to come and sit and visit. And you know what's encouraging about a guy like Macario? He's 43 years old, new believer, and he'll ask me questions. He'll come up to me and ask me questions that might seem simple. He asked me a couple weeks ago, or before we left, to come up here. He said, where do last names come from? Because he said, wasn't it just Adam and Eve? Wasn't that their names? Well, where do last names come from? So we talked about it. I said, well, imagine you leave here and you go to Chihuahua where there's almost 1 million people and you want to know where Antonio is. Oh, which Antonio? So, you know, you got last names that help you figure that out. He said, well, the reason I'm asking, because he said, who did Adam and Eve's kids marry? And that seems like a simple question in a sense because we know they didn't have any other choice but to marry brothers and sisters, and without getting into all those details, what that means, what encouraged me about that is, I mean, Macario was thinking about what he was reading. Wait a minute, if there was only one man and one woman and they had kids, that's a little awkward. But it shows that he's thinking, that the Holy Spirit is working in his life. So they might seem like simple questions, but they reflect the profound work of the Holy Spirit in his life. This is his wife, Genoveva. She's always got a ready smile. She's just a lot of fun, and she's really encouraging. I remember one time she said to us, we were encouraging, trying to get people to pray in public. They're very afraid, just like many people here are. In fact, I heard of a study once done about the top 10 fears of people, and they said number 2 was death. Number 1 was public speaking. Anybody here agree with that? So somebody put in perspective, he said, that means if you go to a funeral, you'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. But because of that fear, she was afraid to stand up. But as we talked to her and encouraged her, she stood up and she prayed in public. And afterwards, we were encouraging her. And she said, you know, I want you to know, every night I pray for your family. I just thought, isn't that neat? We've been praying for years for the God to heal. And now they pray for us. So that's exciting. So this is Genoveva. This is our daughter, Erica. Erica, stand up so they can see you. Oh, see, she's got that fear. She wants to be in a casket right now. Stand up so they can see you. Yeah, Erica got out and braved the chilly water because she wanted to show people that she trusted Christ. Which this was encouraging. This was a blessing to the Guadalajara because they all believe you got to be a grown-up before you can actually be baptized. But since then, some have said, you know, my daughter, she believes, she, or my son, rather, it was a Macario and Genoveva's son, actually said, he wants to be baptized too. It was kind of exciting because since this baptism, so many people were afraid, but we've had four people since say, the next time you baptize somebody, would you baptize me too? And this one here is a special one. This is old Bonifacio. He's 87 or 88 years old. We're not quite sure. He doesn't know exactly when he was born, but they estimate 87 or 88. Bonifacio, he's a sweet old guy. Never married, has no family. And he's one of these guys, because he's lonely and hungry, he's like a lot of single guys, he finds married people to go eat with. No. So he comes to our house, he told me one time, you know, he's more than twice my age, but he said, you know, your wife is like my mom, and you're like my dad. I said, how is that? And he said, well, when I come to your house, your wife always feeds me, sometimes she even washes my clothes. And he said, and you teach me that stuff my dad should have taught me. And then, excuse me for getting emotional here, but when we asked about the baptism, his was the clearest testimony of anyone I'd ever heard. I said, Bonifacio, how would you feel about being baptized? He said in Guadalajara, he said, you know, it's only pretty in one place, and that's with my Creator, Jesus Christ. He said, I want to be baptized. And that just blessed my heart. He's got a simple faith. He knows so little compared to us who have been in church for years, but he just knew that the one place he wanted to be was right with the Lord. And that just excited me. Bonifacio was very close to meeting his Creator. When we left, he was very sick. In fact, I didn't think he was going to make it. He told me before I left that he didn't think I'd see him again. And I don't know, the last I heard a couple days ago, he is still alive, but nearly completely blind because of, he keeps having mini strokes, essentially, is what he's having. And so he can barely walk. He can't get around. He doesn't have family to help him. So I know before we left, I was down there 2 or 3 times a day helping him, you know, with even things like getting dressed. And God's been using that to teach me a lot of stuff because that's not my gifting. But that's old Bonifacio. But Jesus said along with baptizing, we have to teach. And this is inside that multi-purpose building I was telling you about. Anybody here feel like they can't ever learn a language? Anybody? Lots of people feel that way. You know, Dennis Bender felt that way. In fact, Dennis Bender was told that by language consultants. He said, you know, you've been 2.5 years in Spanish study, and your Spanish is okay. We'll send you out to the tribe. But he said, you know, just so you know, no below average language learner has ever learned a Uto-Aztecan language because they're pretty complicated. But Dennis Bender has a God-given tenacity of a bulldog. He just doesn't stop. He goes and he goes and he's not afraid of hard work. And here we have Dennis Bender, the man they said would never learn the language of Guadalajara, standing up and teaching Guadalajara from the book of Romans. Pretty exciting. Here he's got on that whiteboard, you can see in the background, he's got a memory verse on there, Romans 1:7. They've got the Guadalajara translating this. You know, people are the same in every culture. They'll do almost anything for a piece of candy. So here, you know, and this is something that we're doing not just, it's getting scripture into their life, but it's also helping them to overcome that fear they have of sharing with other people. And so we're really excited that here we are able to be teaching Guadalajara, discipling Guadalajara, not just in evangelism, because we feel like sometimes, man, here we go again, evangelism. When are we going to finally see believers? And we're seeing it now. Here we are up here. I'm playing the guitar, Renee singing. I tell people, my dad told me once when I sing, it sounds like somebody's gotten a live cat. So I let Renee sing, and I just play the guitar. But this is exciting for us. You know, we've gotten a number of songs written in Guadalajara. Not lots of them, but we've got a few. But evangelism is a part of that. This is Icopilachi, as they call it, the Guadalajara call, but everyone else calls it San Juan. Icopilachi means the place where they make atole, which is, what is that, Renee? What's a good... warm, okay, it's like a warm corn flour drink, okay. That's their fame for making that stuff. But this is an evangelistic Bible study we've been doing, and it fluctuates in numbers from 15 to 25 people. almost done, almost ready to present Christ in that area, and we're excited about that. But you know, if you're going to teach, one of the things people have to have is scriptures. How many people here have a Bible with them today? Okay, is there any hands not up? No. How many people have more than one Bible at home? More than one version, rather. How many people have lots of versions on your computers? How many people are reading on their iPhone? There's a few people reading their Bibles even on the iPhone. Imagine, we have all these translations of the scripture, but imagine not having any in your own language. You know, as a translator, one of the things that I go through, and other translators in Mexico have gone through it too, it takes so long. You think, is it even worth it? Is what I'm doing making an impact? And in the last language check, when we finished checking the book of Romans, Vicente, who was our main checker at that point, this is what he said. I have various translations of the Bible in Spanish. Of course, he said this in Spanish to the consultants. He said, but sometimes I don't know what a passage means. But when I pick up the Bible in Guadalquivir, I know exactly what it's talking about. Those were the most encouraging words I've heard in Bible translation yet. Because, see, Vicente is a very good Spanish speaker. If you're a Spanish speaker and you meet Vicente, you would not know it's not his first language. And yet, as good as he is, he says that he still struggles to understand because it's not his heart language. And so it's very important for us to have scriptures available in our heart language. So what do we have done so far? Well, as you know, some of you know who have been following us, we teach from the book of Genesis and work up through the life of Christ so people have a clear understanding of their origins. Where do they come from? Where is sin? Where does sin come from? What about death? And what's God's plan? And then we pursue the promise of the Redeemer through the Old Testament. Well, that whole process and getting into some of the scriptures in the New Testament is about 1,700 verses. So we have those finished. They've been done for a few years. The book of Mark, the book of Acts is now done, the book of Romans. That was a big check there. Paul doesn't say anything easy. The book of Ephesians is just about ready. We hope to have it finished and ready for publication in October. And this last one's pretty exciting. This is the book of Jonah. Vicente, who I was just talking about, is a very gifted young man. He's only 20, but he's very gifted, very mature for his age. And he felt all along that maybe God had given him a gift for translation. So we decided to cut him loose on the book of Jonah to give it a try because it's considered relatively easy. Well, the consultants, they had set aside 8 hours for checking the book of Jonah because they figured it's his first shot at it. You know, there's probably going to be some problems. You know, an hour and a half later, they sent the translation helper, the checker, home because we were already done. He had done such a good job. You know, sometimes we have to keep in mind that just because you can speak a language doesn't necessarily mean you're a good translator. Does anybody here speak more than one language? Oh, yeah, what do you guys speak?
Spanish.
All right. Have you ever done any translation in Spanish?
No, I wouldn't dare.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's a difficult process. The first time I ever actually had to do simultaneous translation, somebody asked me if I'd do a 10-minute testimony for somebody, and I said, sure, I'd do that. And then in like 5 minutes, somebody had switched the plan, and it went from a 10-minute testimony to an hour of open sharing, but nobody told me. So that was my first shot, and it is very difficult to do because there are nuances of meaning and flavor that are very difficult to communicate. But God has gifted Vicente with that ability. And another thing that we need to do, this is an area where we're working now. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. When we first moved to Tohiachi, where we first worked, the first year we were there with Kevin and Sandra Goodwin, they were kind of helping usher us in so that they could move out into other areas of ministry. But Kevin, I remember he had a little placard he put over his desk that said, success without a successor is failure. And that one stuck with me. And I realized that's what motivated Kevin. You know, if the church, the Guadalquivir church, starts and ends with me or Dennis Bender, and we suddenly have to leave, have we planted a church? No. In that sense, we would have failed. So our desire is to leave behind teachers. Guys like Macario, you know, Macario has expressed to us now that if he has someone to accompany him, he's ready to, he's willing to try formal teaching. Now, I've seen him teaching with people one-on-one, and God's given him an ability to do that. But now he's saying, yeah, I'll do it. I'm a little nervous to do it by myself, but if somebody helps me, sure, I'll do it. And then we have Vicente. That's Vicente standing closest to our truck right there. Vicente is a gifted teacher. I've seen him teach, watching him pick up lessons in Guadalajara and teaching other Guadalajaras. And then there's Father Santos. His Father Santos is illiterate, but I'll tell you what, he's got a gift for evangelism. We've seen him, he walk up to guys with a machine gun on their back, a knife on their pant leg, and a pistol in their back pocket, and they're just, you know, I'm like, let's just keep right on moving here. And he'll stop and talk to him about the Lord. You know, that's a gift that God has given him. So we see God already beginning to raise up men who could serve as leaders for the Guadalajara Church. And I'll tell you, when I went in there 12 years ago to start working with the Guadalajara, I remember one day walking down the trail saying, God, this job is too big. And if you don't do something, your church will never be planted. Now I tell people, you know, if God plants his church amongst the Guadalajara, it won't be my fault. Because God is doing a work. He's beginning to work with them. You know, it's kind of helping us to move to the back so that he can raise up leaders to the forefront. And that's what we're excited about. And this is, again, this is Vicente. You know, Vicente has the equivalent of, well, out there they'd say he went to sixth grade. But knowing the education system, he probably had closer to a third or fourth grade education. But, you know, he just finished 2 years of Bible school. New Times Mission has a Bible school in Chihuahua, and he finished at the top of his class working in a second language. You know, in fact, actually his class, it's a small class, I think, what, 5-6 people probably? And they chose him to be the class speaker. You know, so God has taken this young man from this obscure little village way out in the sticks that still doesn't even have electricity, and here he's standing, the first in his family, in the history of his people, as far as we know, to have actually graduated from any kind of higher education. And we're excited. God has given him a brilliant mind. But what we're excited about, too, is Vicente was considering going on with New Tribes Missions training, and we want to encourage him to do that. But we asked him if he would take 2 years out and work as an associate missionary with us in Bible translation. And as soon as we offered that to Vicente, he said, finally, this sounds like exactly what God wants me to do. When I think about going on the training, I don't know what to do. When I think about going back to Guaymas, it just doesn't feel right. This feels right. And what's exciting about it is you'll see later on a prayer request asking the Lord to help raise up support for Vicente. But from what I've been told, before Vicente even agreed to finally do it, people had gotten behind, Mexican churches had gotten behind and said, if he goes, we'll support him. He's actually got all the support he needs to go to Chiltepin. So it just seems like God has opened this door. And so with Vicente's help there, what we hope to see him do, we may be done or at least very close to finishing, if things go well, very close to finishing the New Testament. Because the work he's going to do is huge. So what comes next? You know, it's easy for us as missionaries to go into a tribal area and teach people about the Lord and see things that they're doing and say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that. That's displeasing to the Lord. But, and we've done that, and then the Guadalajara say, yeah, but if I don't do that, how do I support my family? I have to take care of them. So one of the things that we, as a team, have been trying to do, along with saying, you know, this activity is displeasing to the Lord, we're looking, searching constantly for ways to help the Guadalajara find alternative sources of income. Dennis Bender is very gifted. This is what God put Dennis Bender together to do. He's just got gifting. He's got a business mind. He's got his hard worker. He's not afraid to investigate and learn new things. He went and he learned how to make saddles. He made a couple of show saddles, taught some of the Guadalajara how to do it. For some reason, it didn't take off. In fact, the first Guadalajara that made belts, I don't know, 5 years ago, they still haven't sold one. Nobody wants them. So then Dennis tries a couple other things, but this is one he hit on. He just got the idea, obviously from the Lord, let's try making soap. Let's try making organic goat's milk soap, because the Guadalajara are already familiar with raising goats. They know how to milk them. So they go out, and Dennis has a couple goats. He goes out and milks them in the morning, brings in the milk, and then they have milk and making organic soap. And you talk about handmade soap. I mean, they milk the goat by hand. They mix all the ingredients of the soap by hand. They cut it by hand. They stamp it by hand. I think I saw an insert in the bulletin about mentioning those same things. If you want a handmade soap, this is a handmade soap. And for some reason, the Guadalquivir have really taken this. This was the first thing Dennis did with the Guadalquivir, that the next day they came back and said, hey, can we make more soap? This is something that, for some reason, they just want to do. They're excited about it. And so we're really excited. It's kind of funny. We took some of these soap samples to, there's a small retirement community near where we were in Weymouth, Americans and Canadians, and they were buying all kinds of soap. And then we went a couple doors down to the Mexican church where we generally attend, and we put the soaps out on the table, and people came all excited. They were excited about buying the goat soap, the goat cheese. They all thought it was goat cheese for making quesadillas. They weren't as excited when they found out it was soap. We told them it tastes the same. So one of the things we've been doing is making soap. And along with making the soap, the Guadalquivir weave baskets. So we've been getting them to make baskets, and then they fit the soaps inside, and then the baskets are nice for putting your spare change in or something like that. And it's something that people have just gotten excited about. In fact, we had hundreds of bars when we left Mexico, and now we're down to 40 or 50 out here in the basket. And we've actually had people asking for, I think we have orders for more than 1,000 more bars. So we're really excited about this whole idea. And I'll put in a commercial again right around the back here. If you are interested, if you like organic soaps, you know, they have these, we have some samples here, $2 a bar, just so you know, that money does not go to us. It goes back to paying the Guadalquivir for the soap that they've made and buying materials to make more. So if you want to directly help the Guadalquivir, there's the soap, and that's a great way to do it. Sorry, we had a number of baskets, but they went pretty quick. You know, along with making soap, we put lavender oil in the soap. It turns out Chiltepin is a good climate for growing lavender. So Dennis is investigating this whole idea too. The difficult part is the expense of actually distilling the oils is very expensive. Goats, we've had goats for milk, soap, and cheese. We didn't put up there for meat. That's another possibility. Because so you see right here, you got somebody making soap, somebody making baskets, somebody else raising lavender, somebody else caring for goats. Wheat sprouts. Dennis was raised on a dairy farm, and his wheels are always turning. You know, farmers are good at finding good ways to get the maximum output for the minimum input. So he's talking about these wheat sprouts as a way of feeding the goats. And he's got, apparently it takes a week to do. They pop up, you feed them to the goats, and you sprout up more. And by the time they've eaten those, you got new ones growing over here that they can keep eating. He wants to start a chicken house. Not just, we've brought chickens out to the Guadalquivir, but actually for selling meat and eggs, and maybe even a store. You know, there's little stores around where you can get beans and rice and flour and things like that, but nobody sells tires, nobody sells automotive fluids, gasoline. I don't even think anybody out there even knows you can change the oil in your car. So you see possibilities popping up for that. And one of the things that may change that is they say, I don't know yet, but they say by Christmas we may actually have electricity in Chiltepin. So we're kind of excited about that too. What about translation? I'll give you a little sample. I'll read that line right there in the middle so you can kind of hear what it sounds like. It says, Paolo Cheri, what I need to use, bube, romamo, chican, papachipi, chicaner, you see. Tasisi, minarachani, netnemia, kakakohuna, napehi. Anybody get that? Is that a blessing? Does that sound anything like Spanish? That line says, Paul is thanking God because the people that the believers, the brothers that live at Rome are obeying / believing God. He says he really wants to go to see them, but he still can't. That's just to kind of give you a little sample of how different the language is. This is actually Romans chapter 1, but this is a Bible program that our program we're using for translation. So where are we at in translation? What comes next? I've just started into the book of 1 Corinthians, a huge book. Like I said, Paul doesn't say anything easy. He doesn't ever seem to say the same thing twice exactly the same way. He says it once, and then later on he tries to find a harder way to say it. And from 1 Corinthians, we hope to go into Galatians. And these next three that are in blue, this is actually what Vicente plans to work on because it's more of a narrative. It's not quite as difficult to translate as the epistles are, and we hope in the next 2 years that he can knock out those books. And you know, if he knocks out those books, he'll have more than 30, 35, maybe even 40% of the New Testament just in those three books, going by numbers of verses. So it may not sound like a lot to do for 2 years, but it's a huge job. And he hopes if he gets that done, he hopes to go in the book of Revelation. They claim that it's not as difficult to translate as it is to understand. So Paul says to the Galatians, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know, it's a long, hard road. This has been a long, hard road. Many times we just say, what's the point? You know, those poor people in Sio Baptist Church have been supporting us faithfully for years. For what? But we're beginning to see fruit. Now, we know missionaries 30 years working in tribes in Mexico before seeing their first believer. But for some reason, when that first one believes, God begins to open the floodgates. The monks at Tepe 1, it was the case had worked more than 30 years before seeing their first believer. And by the end of that year, they had 18 or 20 believers, and they continued to grow. They're beginning to teach them each one another. So we're really excited about what God is doing. He's going beyond what I in my small faith actually really at times really could believe. You know, we're seeing this little speck at the end of the tunnel now, where we're seeing that God's church amongst Guadalajara is growing. And I've even felt like if for some reason God were to yank us out now, somehow it would keep moving forward. You know, I haven't told Vicente yet, but I know he says he wants to go to Mozambique to be a Bible translator, and I wouldn't want to stand in his way. But I really wouldn't complain if he stayed and continued to minister amongst the Guadalajara. So here's some of the fruit. You know, we didn't know what are the Guadalajara going to do to support themselves. Now we have ideas like this soap. We're teaching believers now. Bible translation is moving ahead. We're doing evangelistic Bible studies. We've got guys like Santos, my translation helper, and Vicente. And we're excited. Santos moved his family out of the area 4 or 5 years ago to avoid the pressure on his boys to drink and to grow drugs. But now that his boys are grown, they're finally making their first extended return trip. They plan to be there for 4 or 5 months. And we're hoping that that will stretch out into more time so we can have more believers helping us with the work. And Vicente coming to minister as well. And we have people like this who are beginning to make a public stand. And it has cost them. You know, you see Macallon Genoveva over here. What's interesting about them, they come to our house and they talk to us about how much they suffer. You know, sometimes we have extra beans and rice because they suffer economically because they do not grow drugs. They've suffered for it. And so we try to do things when we have extra, we give them to them. You know, they have to come after dark to get it. Because the people have begun to really seriously persecute them. You know, they tease them, they make fun of them. Nobody likes that. But in these cultures, animistic cultures, where shame is used to maintain control over people, it's much bigger for them than it would be for us. And actually, that recently a baby died, and the family has blamed Macario and Genoveva because they didn't participate in the... They have a type of dance they do called a tuburi, that they claim a spirit came and told them they were supposed to do. Well, they didn't go and participate, and now that family blames them for the death of their baby. And so they face a lot of pressure. But here they're making a public stand and saying that we will follow Jesus Christ, even though it costs us. And so we are seeing fruit for our labor. And when we see this kind of stuff, we realize, you know, God is planting his church. God is doing this job. And we're very excited about that. Okay, just to finish up your prayer requests. Health and safety. God has kept us safe. Thankfully, the situation has changed amongst in Chiltepin. As far as the cartels go, they're no longer butting heads right there in Chiltepin. They've moved on to other places. But sometimes we see some things that kind of make the hairs on the back of our neck stand up a little bit. But God has kept us safe. You know, as far as health and safety goes, we still figured it out. The quickest we could get to a hospital by airplane would be about 6 hours. So if we were to have an emergency, that's still a little scary for us. Unity, family unity, team unity, and unity in the infant church, because the devil is an expert at causing problems. I've told people, I shared this illustration once before, that the word heel, when they want to pick a puppy, they find a litter of dogs that they like, and they'll pick the two that they like the best, and they take them and they bang their heads together. And then they set them down, and then the dogs start fighting each other. Now, if the dogs had any sense, they'd turn around and bite the guy that just banged their heads together, right? But they don't do that. They start fighting each other. And it made me think, you know, the devil often does that in families and in teams, you know, because maybe I'll be out all day and just facing one frustration after another, after another, after another, and come home not knowing that my wife has been facing one frustration after another, and boom, a little spark, and there's an argument. And I realized one day when I saw that, it kind of felt like the Lord was saying, this is exactly how the enemy likes to work. He bangs our heads together, and we don't realize it's him doing it. But so we need wisdom. Community development projects, there's a lot to do with this SOAP project. It's just barely getting off the ground. And other projects like what to do with the goats and the lavenders. Bible translation. I can't stress enough how difficult Bible translation can be to be clear and accurate and natural in a language that does not communicate anything like Greek or English. When you pray for the development of teachers, future leaders for the Guadalupe Church, because someday they need to not depend on us. It needs to become a Guadalupe Church. Pray for Vicente. What did Jesus say? That a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. So Vicente is going back as a missionary to his own people. So we pray that they will receive him well, that they won't look on at him as Jesus' own family looked on him, you know, kind of. They were demeaning to him. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. And that God will continue to raise up that support for Vicente that he'll need to live in the tribe. And that God will continue to grow up the believers, that they would stand strong in the face of persecution, because this is an important stage for the church. And with that, I'll end. I can smell that food in the back, so I know you guys are... How much longer? Okay, let me close in prayer, and then Pastor, I'll hand it back over to you. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for the work that you are doing amongst the Guadalupe, Lord. I thank you that you are raising up believers from Macario and Genoveva and Bonifacio. Lord, I pray for Santos and Vicente and their family, Lord, as they prepare to travel in the next few days back to Chiltepin, that you give them safety. Lord, I thank you that you are accomplishing a task far greater than any we could accomplish, Lord. You have had a plan all along. You are building your church, and the gates of hell cannot stop it, Lord. I thank you for those that are here at Sio Baptist, Lord, for their many years of faithful service and prayer and support of what we're doing in Mexico, Lord. I pray that they would feel very much a real part of what you are doing in Mexico, Lord, as a result of their faithfulness. We thank you for them, and I pray that you bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Terry? I want to say a couple things before we head off into the potluck. First off, Terry mentioned the SOAP, and I want to put my own plug in there that it is back there, and it's, you said $2, right? $20 a bar, I think, is what I think he said. Now this is an excellent way that you can be hands-on as part of the ministry. So if you got $2 or more, grab some soap, we'll clean you out there. It is, pun intended. Okay. But it is a way. And people always ask, well, how do I get involved, you know, especially on the financial end of when it comes to missionaries. And so there's a lot of different opportunities. Obviously, the soap, that's a great way. You can grab, you have something tangible. And for me, I mean, I don't use soap. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have this on my desk. And it's going to remind me to be praying for the reeds, and so that's an opportunity there. But you can grab one of that, and feel free to give more than the $2. On top of that, though, you know, we do as a church, we support the reeds monthly through our missions offering. That doesn't mean you can't support independently. I know many of you already do, and thank you. But those are the opportunities. But that all happens via our budget, and that's, you know, part of the offering. So I want you to understand that there, many of you are involved, whether you know it or not. But there's other ways that you can get involved. I encourage you, not just with the Reeds, obviously, with all our missionaries, but here you've met them, you know them, shake their hands. We're going to have communion with them over potluck. And so get a chance to talk with them. But I really want to encourage you to get involved. And just as a push for the missions committee, they've been talking about the jars for the change, right? That's all money that goes towards an extra above and beyond Christmas gift. It's an opportunity to, again, to be involved. And so if you haven't, as a family, decided to participate in that, grab one of those jars. Take your pocket change at the end of the day. Throw it in there. You think, oh, what's it going to add up to? Trust me, it adds up. And so take that opportunity to do that as well. Speaking of communion also, we just want to remind you that communion elements are there as they are each week if you're wanting to go to the table. But at the same time, we are going to go to the potluck. And if you didn't bring food or you didn't know there was a potluck, there's always extra food. And if not, I'll find a candy bar for you. But please stay, enjoy one another, but enjoy time with the Reeds as well. And this is what communion is. It's gathering together and breaking bread with one another. So do this in remembrance of Christ. So I'm going to pray for the meal, and then we'll be dismissed to the potluck. We ask that we let our saints, I'm not going to say it the other way, right? Let our saints go first, and then young people, you can, be behind them. So Father God, we do thank you so much again for this time. Father, I thank you for the Reeds. And Father, I do lift the ministries, Lord. I lift them up high to you. Father God, there is a good thing happening. And that, Father, I think of your word just as Terry has shared with us, Lord, that Lord, there is just an incredible harvest. And Father, it's time to not give up. But Father, I do pray for his family. I pray for the team. Father, I pray that, Lord, that in those frustrating times, that Father, they do not give up, but Lord, that they seek hope, that they know that is found in you and you alone. Father, we do thank you so much for everything that, Lord, that you are doing there. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we might play a small part in that. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that we would continue to do so. Father, we also thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Please bless the hands that have made it. Father, allow us to gather around in your name and to commune, to have community with one another. We pray that in your son's name. Amen.